Hey, golf enthusiasts. Welcome back to another episode of Playing Through Golf Podcast. My name is William Starchwich, and I'm joined today by the usual suspects.
Travis White.
Chris Lopez.
All right. Let's kick this off immediately and go to the U.S. Open that had to go to an extra day. The women's U.S. Open.
And why did it have to go to an extra day?
Because the weather sucked, because it's a major in December.
Did I see earmuffs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was on Monday?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they got rained out on Sunday. Ooh. So it was a tough weekend. And, the first Thursday was pretty good weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday was a little worse. Saturday was a little worse. Sunday it was washout. And then Monday was this brutal, cold, little breeze.
It was tough. This was in Houston, wasn't it?
In Houston, which you wouldn't think would get that cold, but
yeah.
Did you guys watch much of it?
No.
Okay.
I only watched a few holes.
I just saw some highlights, and that was about it.
Ailee Kim won with a total of 3 under. But to me, the thing that stood out about this course, which, what's it called? Champions Course, I believe?
Yeah.
They were playing in December. It's the only time that a major has been played in December. And the course, in my opinion, they made a mistake by not overseeding the rough.
That's one thing I did notice.
So they have Bermuda, just similar to how Atlanta was, or at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
So they overseed everything. So it looked on TV, everything looked really, really green to everybody and really clean.
Right.
The U.S. Open did not. It was dormant Bermuda, which, having been in Arizona and that same type of golf world, a lot of places don't overseed their rough. But it was like they were kind of in between. Like, there were spots that were green, spots that were brown. You know, Bermuda is a type of turf that the very first frost shuts it off. It goes straw yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't... I'm going to hate to use this word, and U.S. Open, women's open in the same. It wasn't as penal as it could have been, but it was, aesthetically, it was not pleasing to look at.
Yeah, that was one thing that really turned me off to watching it. I didn't like that.
No, it looked so muni to me, even though I know that course is a fantastic golf course and has hosted many, many majors.
Mm-hmm.
But it just aesthetically was not pleasing, and around the greens, haven't seen them chip onto some of those from some of the weird lies. And I actually think the Bermuda is what cost the top American finisher. She was leading at the time and went over into the Bermuda. And what happened after that is, in my opinion, at least cost her a shot at the playoff, because she bogeyed that hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was 16 after hitting a great shot in there.
Was that Olson?
Olson.
Olson.
Yeah.
And they were saying that because she is from South Dakota?
North Dakota.
North Dakota, yeah. That she was actually able to deal
with
the cold.
Oh, yeah, she did pretty well. And it was a really, really kind of interesting story about her. Her father-in-law died on Friday or Saturday.
Mm. Yeah, I read about that.
And she was she played at North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband played football at North Dakota State. And he was part of that run where they were
champions
3 or 4 years in
yeah,
a row
mm-hmm.
before they made the jump to
Division One.
So, anyway, he's now a linebacker coach there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his father passed away. She wasn't even sure if she was going to play. A little track record on her, she kind of blew it in a U.S. Open a few years ago, but which they really played up, by the way.
Yeah.
She's a bigger girl, smokes the ball. Like, she was crushing it.
Yeah.
Like, her ball speed was in that 145 to 152 range off
I'd
the
love
driver.
To get there.
Right? Like,
I'd love to
like
get
that's,
there.
See, that's more yours, isn't it?
That's about what mine is.
Yeah.
Like, it's really close to mine. That
comes close to that.
So, it was really good to see her. She stayed composed the whole way through, but they also kept bringing up, you know, the fact that her father-in-law had just passed and how she blew it a few years ago, and she kept it together as the Japanese player who was at 7 under on Saturday, basically fell apart, and she finished Monday. Yeah. At +3,
ooh.
So ouch. 1 under for the day. But she's like, you know, phenomenal player. She's already won a major, and I think she's 21.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just absolutely crazy. But the Olson girl, she hit a shot into 16 and ended up bogeying it because it landed on the green, rolled over just through the approach cut and barely into the rough. And what is she going to do? How is she going to hit that? She yeah. kind of have to play it as an explosion shot.
Mm-hmm.
It went way long. Some of the pin placements, and they even said it on the broadcast.
Suspect?
More than suspect, they said it was borderline unfair.
Really?
Yeah. And that was Bones.
But isn't that typical of a U.S. Open that they have these complaints, whether it's men or women, every time, that there's some sort of unfairness that these that the USGA comes up with that is drives That's, everybody nuts?
Yes.
But wouldn't you think, if it's that cold and it's in December or something like that, you would try and do something to benefit a player?
No, it's the USGA.
It's the USGA, dude.
Now, well, here's the other thing.
Slapped upside the head.
That it was tough conditions, and I was actually surprised that any player was under par for the finish. But they do not. There was a ton of mud balls. Balls going everywhere. And you would think, okay, well, they know they had a bunch of rain the day before. They had to cancel the play. Well, why isn't it lift clean in place like any other tournament would be? Well, because it's USGA, and they never do it, ever. They went into it saying it's not going to happen.
Wow.
So, you know, mud on the left side of the ball.
Does anybody really like them?
No. I don't even think they like themselves.
No. I mean, I think JT's really gone after them in the past a couple of times, you know, where he just said, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I think JT, I know Phil has. I think Phil's pissed off every golf official ever.
Yeah.
You know, but I think a lot of them have gone after these guys. You know, what is their point? I mean, are they trying to embarrass players or?
Well, the fact that they go into the men's U.S. Open with the mandate of we want it to be around even as the finish kind of says something about, yeah, we want to bring these guys back to earth. I'm like, well, then put in something else. Put in limited flight balls or, you know, limit the golf ball they can play.
Yep.
You know, if you're worried about protecting these golf courses and you want it to be around even, there's other things to do besides making it so hard to play that you couldn't really play it.
Yeah, turning it into a putt-putt golf course.
Yeah, it's
just... You know,
it's
the clown.
Yeah, it's a Mickey Mouse thing.
The clown.
So anyway, I just thought it was kind of... It was weird to watch... I wasn't overly impressed with the golf course because of the time of year. Not that the golf course was maintained poorly, but the fact that they didn't overseed wall to wall, knowing that they were going to be hosting this thing, kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, how am I going to say it? Like the Masters, what they did.
Yeah.
They overseed everything and did all the extra work for that. And the Women's U.S. Open, they just, no, we're not going to do anything.
Right. And
I think that's super shitty.
But. And that club... You know, it was supposed to be in June or,
May or June.
Yeah, whatever the Women's U.S. Open was going to be, would have been a totally different golf course.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So now, if there was any chance of you doing it, why not back in September, October when you're going to overseed, why not do a wall-to-wall?
Yeah.
Instead, you put
and
it this
it
way.
Make it look nice.
Yeah,
least.
It was so weird.
I'm not saying it didn't look bad, but I just didn't like the way
it
was yellow.
And weather's not going to make a course look great if it's raining that much.
Well, if it was ryegrass, at least you would have seen the emerald green instead of the aesthetic difference between the emerald green and the blonde, the straw blonde. So they even overseeded the walkways. So you had this little strip of a walkway, a courtesy cut, that was overseeded and then tan. It was a very weird look to me. Now, all that aside, the golf, I thought they played phenomenal. The course played really long for them. And let me see here.
And was it me that the winner, she wore a mask the whole time?
The whole time.
The whole
didn't know what she looked like until they were like talking about it. It's like, we don't even know her.
Yeah.
But that's how the Korean golf is.
And they showed a piece later of her talking to her dad on TV, and he kept asking her, why were you wearing the mask? Why? And she just walked away from him.
Yeah, all right. Peace, Dad.
Peace, yeah. And he just goes, why were you wearing the mask? And he kept, I mean, he was yelling it at her.
Yeah.
Why were you wearing the mask?
All right, so out of the top 11 in ties, there is 5 South Korean players.
Wow.
There was...
These grow them on trees?
Well, they have two different levels of developmental tours there for pro golf that the ladies play in as well.
Right.
So they were like, no, they've been playing in this.
Yeah, but their men don't do what the women do.
Well,
That's true.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you don't see a whole lot of Korean men coming to the tour and dominating like these women do.
So Shibona was a Japanese player. She ended up at 4th. And then there was 2 sisters. I'm going to butcher this last name. Jatangagarn, I believe they're Filipino or Thai, maybe. I'm sorry, maybe they're Thai. Mm-hmm. But they're sisters, and they're only 16 months apart. And one of them, the younger one, had already won a U.S. Open, I think, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the older one was in contention. She ended up finishing in +3 for the day, +2 for the tournament. But it was really kind of cool to see Like they played together. I think it was on Friday or Saturday.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, which
that'd
was really
killer.
Neat.
Yeah, that'd be killer.
And let me see the.
That'd be like us playing golf together.
Uh huh.
Oh boy.
And let me see here.
As well?
No, I wouldn't wear that.
And there was an amateur golfer. The low amateur actually was tied for ninth at three
That's
over.
Impressive.
And when, she was from the University of Texas. Her name's Pap.
Yep.
She was moving it, man. For a smaller girl, too, she was really moving the ball.
I was at a bar, shocking, on Saturday, and they had it up on the screen. And the leader was at 7 under at the
time. That was Shinobu.
Okay, and then there was two amateurs at 5 under and 3 under at the time.
Yeah, and I want to say that would have been Pap and then the girl from Sweden.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember her name.
5 under and 3 under, and I was like, oh, man, wow. Amateur.
Yeah, they were talking about that there was, I want to say that there was 17 amateurs or something made the cut. Like, it was a big number. And a lot of it was talking about Pap and this other girl where, are they going to be able to
hold on
and win this? Like, could they possibly win and be the first amateur women's U.S. Open champ since, like, 1960?
Really?
That's impressive, though. There's 17 amateurs that made the cut?
Well, I don't know if it was made the cut, or maybe it was 22 that were made that qualified, maybe.
That qualified? That's still impressive. Wow.
You want to hear a number that kind of blew me away? I'd have to look at this exactly, but it was something like 12 of the last 18 or so U.S. Open champs are from South Korea.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, right? So you're going back to, like, let's say Ripak and...
Yeah, you're going back to, some of the original girls.
Well, the one from last year. And I don't... It doesn't have it on here, but a lot of them, like, there was Lee 2, and there was, like... Or Lee 6, and... They had all these numbers at the end.
Oh, because the last names were the same.
Oh.
So they had to issue one number. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
it's a good thing it's not the Olympics. They could sweep the whole medals.
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, the top three U.S. players were all in the top nine. So you had Olsen, Kang, who I want to say she's from Maryland, and then Pap. That's it. I mean, you can go all the way down the rest for a ways.
Kari Webb must have finally succumbed to her injuries. She was playing with what? You mean broken ribs?
Christy Kerr.
Christy Kerr, yeah.
Broken ribs, and then her wrist was messed up, too.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh.
And she ended up...
And she was up. She was all the way up to 3 under at one point.
Well, final day, she was 6 over, so you kind of must have been...
Ribs,
and that cold weather,
that
I can only imagine.
Cold weather is not going to feel good.
So she ended up with a +7 for the tournament, but 6 over on the final day. Let me go through here. The most impressive, American players were Olsen and Pat.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, Olsen from North Dakota, I don't think she really cared how cold it was.
Nah, shoot. Up there, they...
yeah. So anyway, it's
like a spring day to them.
It was great golf. The girl who won, Kim, she went... birdie on 16, 17, and 18 to win by one.
Wow.
That's impressive.
It was really crazy good.
Really good.
So, anyway, I that was my take on the Women's U.S. Open.
Yeah, let's hope, I mean, just like the men's, let's just hope that next year we return to some normalcy. I think this was
tough.
For, I mean, this sucks for them because they have to play in such crappy conditions weather-wise. And like you said, the course may not have been in the greatest of shape either. We hope we get back to seeing what these places really look like.
Yeah, look like when they're supposed to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one will be...
Augusta and early...
Augusta will look fairly similar
to
what we saw, but it'll play totally different.
Yep.
This, the U.S. Open for the women in 2021 is at the Olympic Club.
Oh.
Okay.
June 1st through the 6th. So, and they are going to allow... They're already saying there will be some fans. So
we'll see.
And
then wasn't there a girl Golbus? Did she qualify for next year from her finish?
Natalie Golbus?
Yeah, they were just talking about it. They said Natalie Golbus.
Really?
Yeah, her. The,
she didn't get any airtime.
The girl that we talk about, the sand trap girl, didn't.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
She didn't qualify. Popov or something like that. Yeah. She didn't qualify, but Natalie Golbus qualified for the U.S. Open for next year.
Oh, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Good for us. Good for everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Seriously. Meow. Mm-hmm.
So. The other event going on this weekend was kind of a little bit of a silly season golf, where it was two-man teams, and they played modified alternate shot.
Best ball on Sunday.
Best ball on Sunday. And I did Team Kuchar and Harris win it for the second year in a row?
Second year in a row.
Or no, for the second time. Last year, Rory and Tway won.
Yeah.
Your guy.
Oh. Sabatini.
And he finished second, and it irritates me.
Yeah, so go through some of the...
Harris English and Matt Kuchar won at 37 under.
Kuchar's kid was on the bag.
Yeah, I saw that.
Kuchar's kid was carrying the bag.
And did you guys see that they went alternate shot and birdied like four or five in a row on an alternate shot?
Yep. That's hard to do, I think.
That's crazy.
Well, when I was... I had it on the TV, but I was doing some other stuff. They said whoever put it in the fairway, just aim for the center of the green. That's all you got to do. Aim for the center of the green, and then we'll go from there. And they just went, oh, we're going at the pin.
And that's like, yeah, it was crazy.
That's crazy.
Because I think they went four under, or four birdies in a row, and then they did it again on the back nine, mm-hmm. an alternate shot. And then, you know, when they go, oh.
Was this only three rounds?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, mm-hmm. So on the back nine, they shot 28 on the back. They finished birdie, eagle, birdie.
On the final day?
On the final day.
Wow.
Which was better ball or preferred shot, right?
Yep.
So where did Kevin Na and...
Sean O'Hare?
Sean O'Hare finish.
Tied for second at 28 under.
Okay, so I'm going to say it right now. I owe them guys an apology because I thought they might shoot 25 over.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did well, I guess. They beat out Champ and Finau, Oosthuizen and Watson.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the shot from Oosthuizen from behind the stands? Oh wow,
that was impressive.
That was special. That was really a neat shot.
I did see that.
Well, that was for one of those events that it's kind of like I said, it's a silly season. It's one of those afterthought events. It seems like it made good TV when you're going that low.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's cool to watch.
I think they're a little bit loose when they're playing that kind of. They're not.
You're playing with house money.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they're just out there.
I had the total. Oh, you have
447 each, 447,000 each
for the winners.
The 10th place person, 90,000 each.
Speaking of cash, the young lady from South Korea that won the Women's U.S. Open, mm-hmm. take a guess what her paycheck was.
300.
Okay, so it was $1 million.
Really.
That's got to be, I don't know if it's a record for that. It's not as much as the men's U.S. Open.
That's why, not to be an ass, but that's why.
No, that's like what you would expect. Yeah, and it would have been that. I would have been like, okay, I wouldn't even have brought it up.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was a million? Yeah, wow. That's crazy. And then NBC kept showing this, and a lot of people were retweeting it. It was hashtag women worth watching or something like that. And I was like, is that appropriate right now?
Yeah,
this cancel culture kind of thing?
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
It seems weird, right?
It does.
A little bit.
It seems very weird.
Now, I mean, the golf was certainly worth watching.
Yeah.
And like I said, some of the ball speeds that these women were getting off the driver, mm-hmm. I was like, good Lord.
Well, I mean, they're not hacks.
No, definitely not.
I think that's a huge misnomer, is that women... Whenever they play whatever sport it is, I mean, they do this with the WNBA as well.
Yeah.
And some of those women are pretty good.
Yeah, really good.
Really good. I mean,
I was prime time back in my day.
Oh, boy.
They would beat me.
Yeah, seriously, they at least get off the bench. Okay.
I know he was off the bench because I saw the video against him and the Iowa State guy.
Oh, is that the one where he got, like...
I got slapped.
Yeah, it was rejected into the...
I still have that.
Film. Yeah.
Did that go up, like, four rows?
Oh, try 40.
The one, the dude jumped from the free throw line.
And swatted it?
And I was easily 2 feet behind the three-point line and swatted it.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good claim to fame, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Well, whatever.
So...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the women are just... I mean, they're good players. I mean, they just... I don't know... It irritates me sometimes the way they treat sports.
Yeah.
I think if they're good, I mean, women's basketball is probably fundamentally More sound below the rim. It's the more purest of the game.
Yes.
You know, they play a pure game of basketball.
I agree.
You know.
Well, we're kind of guilty of that because we, like, up until this week, I hadn't really followed much of the LPGA or women's golf because they hadn't really played a lot.
No. Well,
and they were talking about the world number one. She literally came back to tour. She played two events. Otherwise, they hadn't seen her all year.
Right.
And she, my fact is that, she's the world number one for women. I can't think of her name right now.
Yeah.
But she played really, really well in this, but only having two competitive rounds here. Like,
my whole thing is they don't get the TV coverages.
No.
No.
Like, because if you watch WNBA basketball,
right.
you have to go to ESPNU or some.
Yeah.
You got to go to that or something just to watch them.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I did think was kind of neat about this, and I don't think they did it at the men's, but maybe they did, was when the women are getting ready to tee off, they had like the TV with the projector type thing, so they were talking to their family.
Right.
Like as they're being introduced,
they didn't do that for the men's.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Yep. This is cool. And then they introduce them and they play.
Do you also think that the interest in the women's game has changed because of the personalities?
You know, I think part of that.
When you go back in time, I mean, Annika she made things interesting because she was, you know, she got to play with the men, with the same with Michelle Wee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were doing things outside of golf that made them interesting, but you also had characters like Christina Kim, who really never, I don't think, ever matched her potential.
Right.
But she was wild, and people loved it. And, you know, she was kind of like I wouldn't say John Daly, because she didn't, like, do all the beer and, you know, all that stuff. But she was crazy.
She's missing out.
You know?
Well, yeah. You remember, they talked to her, because she won a U.S. Open.
Right.
Do you remember how she would tee up her driver? She would hit a tuff of turf so it would stand up on the tee, and then she would set her ball on top of that instead of using a tee.
What?
I watched you do that with sand one day.
Not in a bunker. I didn't.
Oh, in a bunker?
No.
No, you did it on a tee. You used the sand off the tee and put your ball up.
Well,
that's old school.
Yeah, little fun fact. That's how they used to do
tees.
They would have a bucket of water there, and you would have sand and like almost like a thimble-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you would make a little sand castle with that thimble, and that's where you would put your ball.
Watch the movie The Greatest Game Ever Played. They show you how the old...
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Like, I've never actually seen that movie.
That's a great movie. If you ever want a good golf movie, watch The Greatest Game Ever Played.
And then, and greens, back in the day, if, you know, they want them so close cropped, when they couldn't really do that, they would oil the greens.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be... Yeah.
I did not know that.
You remember the term stymie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It came from golf as well, because they would not... You wouldn't mark your ball.
Right. You couldn't get to the hole.
You had to go over... You had to either chip over their ball or...
Son of a bee sting.
Look at that.
Son of a bee sting.
Yeah. Now, let's just clarify. I was not around when they did that with the tees.
I think you did it on number five one day, and I was like, what are you doing?
He's like, I'm making my own.
They used to do this back in the day. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you didn't believe me, did you?
I did not.
No, that's literally how they used to do it.
So, anyway, Laura Davies would do that with her driver because she typically didn't hit driver off the tee, and she thought that helped her square up a little bit having that turf. Square per club face.
I mean, that's an old school thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. That's an old school thinking.
Now, she was a larger woman, and she could move the ball.
Oh, Jesus. I think she could still out-hit some of those girls. I mean, she shows up every once in a while, and she can still hit it.
Bomb it.
Yeah, she can still hit it.
Well, Lorena Ochoa was super dominant, too, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing with, she just retired. Like, I don't know if she was in her.
She was 30, what,
maybe 30, 31.
Yeah, 31, 32. And she said, I'm it. And, you know, next year she's having babies.
Yeah.
You know,
she's like, I'm out. I'm going back to Mexico.
Yeah.
See ya.
Mm-hmm. You know, Annika pretty much quit when she was pretty much in her prime.
Yep.
You know.
She looks like she could still play.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen, they've had her in a couple like those silly games, you know, and stuff. She's still got some game.
Yeah, I bet.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't take away that swing that she had.
No.
It was
no.
So rhythmic.
Jeez.
Well, she actually shot a 59 on the LPGA Tour at Moon Valley, which is in Phoenix, right across from where the Ping manufacturing is, and that was the Ping. Who's the Ping family? Solheim.
Solheim.
The Solheims, Mom Solheim actually lived on Moon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, I want to say it was 2 years after that they left Moon Valley as an LPGA stop, but Yeah. So anyway, what's the next event coming up?
The PNC Championship.
The PNC Championship. Now this one is going to be all about tuning in to watch Tiger Woods paired with his 11-year-old son.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And I guess in that same group, mm-hmm. or at least walking with them.
Is John Daly?
No, is JT.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
JT's playing with who?
With his dad.
Is he playing with his dad?
His dad, Mike.
I don't like... It's cool that Annika's going to be with her dad, a little different. Mm-hmm. But the tour players breaking their dads out?
Yeah, there's only... Well, Bubba Watson's playing with his,
that was how it
with
was
his father-in-law.
Yeah, wasn't it? But then,
he must
that
have to kiss his ass or something.
But isn't that how it was originally started? Was a father-son?
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah, father-son.
Yeah. You know, so they,
you remember the big Slazenger father-son tournament? I think that's kind of what started this. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know.
They're the only one. Well, besides Annika and her dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
They are the only one, the only three that are playing with their father or father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it.
Either way, it's still going to be cool if JT's in that group because they Charlie and JT have some banter.
Yes.
You know, for an 11-year-old, he's talking smack.
Charlie's dropping F-bombs like his old man.
Though. Oh, I guarantee he is.
If he's played golf with his dad, he is.
Oh, absolutely. He should be.
Following what his dad does?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, just not that.
This is G-rated, bro.
All right, we're not going to the ATM again.
Say he said it.
I wasn't even thinking it.
Yeah, no, we're not going to the ATM this week.
So... We're looking forward to that. Winter here is officially set in, so I'm really glad we got away last week and played one more round. We played 18 holes here locally at Indian Bluff, and me and Chris walked. Somebody else did not.
Somebody did
not. I did not. I had to operate a chainsaw that morning.
Okay.
And that's so taxing.
He was sweating. That morning. I was sweating my ass off.
So I was glad we got out. Chris almost had a hole-in-one.
Almost had a hole-in-one.
Came close. What was that, 14?
14.
So I was working.
That was my only good shot of the day.
That was close.
Yeah, that was really good.
You'll have to. I kind of thought about this after we got done playing. Did you notice that it wasn't just us that was hacking up that course?
Everybody was hacking up that course.
The cart got hit.
There was a cart that got hit.
A couple holes away.
How many times were we in one fairway and you hear the ball in the trees?
Yeah.
You know, and it was,
almost got hit when we were on one of the tee boxes.
I guess if that's what December golf looks like in the Midwest, that's sounds like. I mean, everybody was in places they did not belong.
Well, my whole thing with that round is I wanted to get out and play one more time, get a good walk in, but I was also trying to work on maybe increasing the swing speed a little bit. I wanted to get the ball speed up as kind of my off-season program is, mm-hmm. I'm working towards getting more ball speed.
Yeah.
So, well, and I will say, I definitely had more ball speed.
Yeah, ball got into a tree
really fast.
Real quick.
It did.
What was the final tally on trees for that round?
I don't know, 12 or 13. But the good thing is I was hitting it so hard, I was hitting two trees at once.
Oh, sure.
Like it would go through one.
Well, yeah,
I literally found a golf. I went and got one of my golf balls, and it had bark on it.
Yeah,
it did.
Ever a telltale sign that your swing speed was up,
that was it.
That golf ball, which you played for at least four holes.
Yeah, until it decided to leave me.
Yeah, until it finally went into the woods for good, and that was, I think, a four tree or before it finally settled. Yeah, it was at least four trees.
Yeah, it was. Whew. You know what? And I would say it felt good because the ones that I did hit felt really good. But what didn't feel good was the next morning. My back was so sore.
My forearms hurt really bad.
Actually, we had talked about playing Saturday. I don't think I could have done it.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't think I could have done it.
That's talk about old man knitting circle.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, getting out of the truck was a real
treat. It was a taxing, man.
The wife warned me when I got out of the truck. She goes, "You asked for this. Do not complain or I will punch you in the face."
So do we know where the PNC is going to be played? Because this weekend, we're going to get together. This will be the first weekend that we're just going to strictly do the simulator. We'll get a practice session in, and then we're going to play wherever the PNC is on there. And
Ritz-Carlton Golf Club, Orlando, Florida.
All right. So I'm sure we'll be able to find that on this system. That. So
did you get that new one?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
So,
we don't have to swing 60 times in a
row. It's the TGC 2019, I think, because there isn't an update past that works with the Skytrack. So, but there's 100,000 golf courses on there.
Oh,
so
that's just music to my ears.
Yeah. So, and plus,
now we can just hack it up worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. And actually play it like you would a normal golf instead of having to play nine holes at a time before the next guy
plays.
That's
exhausting.
That was, you wouldn't think it'd be exhausting, but.
Yeah, I mean, talk about being sore.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was.
I can't remember.
Elbows and.
Elbows, wrists, your back.
I think it was this year. Ben and I played it, and we played 54, or no, we played 72 holes the
wow.
one day.
Well, and I mean, when you're playing a full 18, you know, by yourself, literally.
Oh,
yeah, you can play it in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
but
and you're sweat
but when
exhausted.
You get done, you can't even stand up.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's like a full workout.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's like a full workout.
You know, the garage setup is pretty much totally done. I added a propane heater because it wasn't going to be warm enough in there. I'll do a little video on what it looks like because it's pretty baller. The studio, actually, this will be our last recording for the podcast here at Fire Lake Clubhouse. Or Fire Lake.
Do we have helmets for Travis Hazel Rockets?
I don't hit those anymore.
Okay.
I haven't hit one. When's the last time I hit one that you know of?
That I know of?
That I know of.
And on that note, let's wrap this up. You guys got anything else?
No, I got nothing.
Go Hawks.
Go
awesome.
Hawks.
How do I usually do it? Hello, golf enthusiasts?
Yep.
Is that what I say?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
What's up, Slappies?
Yeah.